We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and read a couple verses there, a few verses actually, and also Thessalonians, another place I want to read to us here in just a moment. I'm not here to attack us today or make you feel bad or just think I'm horrible or a gloom and doom kind of a guy, but we're living in a day of darkness. That song there, they even sing and mention how that, you know, we're looking to Christ. He's the one that brings the light. And this world is in a time of great darkness, isn't it? Unfortunately, it is getting worse. And that's a sad situation, but I'm glad we don't have to get worse with it. We are children of the light. Matter of fact, I'm going to read you that verse right here in just a moment if I can get to it. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read there as well. So right now we're at Ephesians chapter 5. If you can, let's stand. Ephesians 5, we'll start with verse 10. Ephesians 5 and 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproved them. But it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. There it is. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look at that. Verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's important that we know what the will of God is for our lives. Amen. Wherefore, awake, verse 14 says, awake and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you so much today for your word, and I just appreciate all that are here, Lord, and I pray that you minister to each and every one. If there's somebody here that is lost, Lord, that have never met you, oh, would you let them realize how much you love them today and how much you're reaching for them right now. If there's anybody here, Lord, that are lukewarm or backslid, they're not where they should be with you. They've known you, Lord, but they've walked away, turned their back, got sidetracked. Something's happened. Lord, please touch their hearts. Oh, reunite yourself with them, Lord, as they call on your name. I pray for conviction that'll let them realize that you still love them, that you're reaching for them right now. And Lord, stir us all. Those of us, Lord, that are serving you, stir us as well. Let us realize who we are and who we represent. And let us represent you well in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Bless you for standing for God's word this morning. We are children of the light. That's my title. Simple, isn't it? We are children of the light. We're living in a time when so much of what is right and wrong is becoming blurred in the eyes of a lot of people. There's folks that have a hard time distinguishing between truly what is right and wrong. You know, it's hard for some folks to realize that they're in darkness. because the world, you know, our school system grades on a curve, and so the world looks at everything on a curve. If the majority, and I've told you this before, but the difference between the conservative and the liberal is this, and this is just a general rule, but the conservative believes that the laws are put in place, the laws of God are put in place, and they're non-negotiable, that you must abide by God's law, and they never change, that the people must abide by God's law, all right? The liberal feels like that that the law should be changed to suit the people. As we change, as we evolve, as we take on new opinions, then the law should be changed a little bit so that it suits this generation better than the one before. And that's a little bit of what goes on. There's a lot of folks like that in church. They feel they have a more liberal view of things. They have a more desire to see things change because we're living in a new day, a new age. We have new technology. We've evolved. We've come a long way, baby. That used to be the slogan for some cigarette deal. You know, we've come a long way. And so, you know, we need to change and evolve with the time so we can suit things better. Now, I do understand that we do need to be smart enough to know when we, you know, there's some things that do change. I understand that. But God's word doesn't change, see. That's not one of those negotiable things that should be changed. You don't mess with God's word. You don't mess with his ruling of things and how he operates. You don't mess with the laws of nature. You know, there's very little question about that. Let's go out here and rebuke, you know, gravity. I could try it here right quick and see if I could just fly up there to the balcony. I could give a big run and go, but we pretty much know what's going to happen. I'm going to kill myself right there somewhere across that wood if I make it that far. And it'd be ugly. It'd be an ugly scene. And so we don't try that, but we want to mess with God's word. We want to mess with his law. Then we wonder why we're getting in so much trouble. And I'll tell you, man, our nation's in trouble. Our nation as a whole is dealing with a lot of issues that seemingly are getting worse and not better. I'm going to read you some more verses here. Let's go to, I'm going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you want to go there, you can. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'm going to start reading with verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. This is God talking. He's telling his own people. He said, now look, there's an area I'm going to give you here. But when you come into that area, you don't learn to do what everybody else has been doing that is there before you. Why is that? God's going to explain it. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter of familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. I'm getting tongue-tied today. You just have to work with me on that. For all, verse 12 says, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times. Observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. God's telling him, the reason you're going to get this land, the reason you're going to get this area is because the people before you, in so many words, they were devil worshipers. They were people that worshiped darkness rather than light. They were people that were not interested in the word of God or in the truth of what God had to offer. They rebelled against that. And because of that, they got into deep sin, and God was moving them out and giving the children of Israel that land. All right, so God doesn't just come in and find a good people over here. Well, them's good people, but I like my people better. So I'm just going to run off those good people and put some more good people there. God don't work like that. But when there's people there that are sacrificing their children in the fire, there's people there that are worshiping demons and devils and everything else, that is a direct abomination unto God. Now, listen, I know today there's people that want to mock the idea that the Bible talks about abomination. Well, the Bible also says that that eating certain kinds of seafood is an abomination. I want to tell you one thing right quick, and it makes it clear in the Bible if you'll take time to read it. There's some things that the Bible says is an abomination that you'll just get in trouble for, and God to rebuke you, and he's going to tell you, now you're going to have to do certain things because you've done this and become unclean. You've ate that certain kind of food you wasn't supposed to. You ate that piece of bacon. Well, you wasn't supposed to eat. Now, this is Jews, okay? It's way back in the day. But he told him, you don't eat that hog stuff, that swine's flesh. Don't eat that. And if you do, then you're unclean. You're going to have to go through a process now to be made clean and acceptable back into your people. All right? So that abomination didn't get you killed. But you commit an abomination, a sexual abomination, adultery, you were to be stoned to death. Yeah. There were certain things that you done that caused you to be stoned to death. So it was obvious that, yes, both violated the law, but there were some things that had a much more severe penalty than other things. All right? It's important that we understand that. Here, this abomination that God is speaking of is one that will get death put on you. That was back in the day. Hey, I understand that. And I'm glad we're under grace. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad of that. But here we're watching as a nations before them are getting put out because of the ungodliness and the filth that they were involved in. And God is making it clear there is just some things I'm not going to tolerate. There's some things I'm not going to put up with. And any kind of spiritual worship of anything other than God Almighty will absolutely get you in trouble. Amen. That's the reason those nations were being driven out. God made it clear, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And yet here we are in America. We're watching as America begins to embrace things that 100 years ago it would have never embraced. Allowing things to take place that 100 years ago, no way we would have allowed such activity to have went on. And yet today it's becoming commonplace. Now we're not able to talk about Christ in our schools. They don't want that. Don't come in there preaching that Jesus business. Don't come in there hanging up your nativity scene. Not allowed in there, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You walk down them halls, a lot of them schools, I assume it's still like it was. You walk around most of them, but they've got witches. They've got all kind of that junk up. Any kind of little deal going on that has to do with black, in that kind of junk. There's plenty of that. Oh, yeah, you can have that. You can do those things. You can get involved in that. To the point that now, even today, that the church of America is beginning to embrace things that it should have never embraced to begin with. And when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot said about Halloween being a bad thing. There wasn't a lot said about a lot of stuff. You know, there were some things they picked on. Yeah, sure, they nailed this down, nailed that down, preached on that, pointed it out in Scripture. But there's other areas that seemed like there wasn't much mention of it. You know, the devil's sly, isn't he? He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. And one of the things that he does is he attempts to come in gradually. He moves in slowly, like a serpent. And, I know that everything that goes on is not evil. I'm not that dumb or naive. I understand that. Everything's not evil, but, sometimes the devil can take something that seems innocent enough, and he'll play off of it. You know, years ago when I was growing up, they come out with little shows like Bewitched. Well, I don't know if the guy that was behind all that was actually, being if he was a devil worshiper or anything. Probably he wasn't. That was probably just something really funny. And it was a cute little old show, and there was no harm meant by it. But see what it is. It begins to cause us to relax about certain things. Relax about, the idea of, oh, that's funny. That's interesting. See, we're in October here. We're moving toward the end. It's just a week from tomorrow is Halloween. A lot of people, man, enjoy that time. They enjoy those festivals. They get involved in all the tricking and the treating and all those kind of businesses. And that's their business to do that. But, also this is a time of darkness. Throughout Halloween, there's a lot of people that deal with oppression and depression. They find themselves feeling gloom and despair, but in a very heavy way. Little do a lot of people realize the activity that truly goes on among those that are involved in satanic worship. This is a very exciting month for them, and there's a lot of things going on that should not be going on. Years ago, I ran into people here in our area. There was, of course, students at the college. There was kids that we met in our area that had a few little farms and places that they went to and met. And they had their little seances. They had their little worship deals. They sacrificed the dogs, the cats, they cut their throat, drain that blood, pour that out. Hey, listen, folks, they're still doing that. And even back in the here, the police picked up a van here in our town that had little children in it that was involved in some sort of a kidnapping scheme, and those children ended up that got tied into some sort of a system there that were supplying children. I know that's pretty rough business, but they were supplying children for these satanic rituals. We've got to be careful at what we embrace to be innocent and no big deal. Now, there's a lot of folks that'll say, well, you know, now you start picking on that, then you got to start picking on everything. And you know, listen, folks, there's some things that God just don't tolerate and that we as Christians just should not mix with. Amen. That's true. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command you. This is God talking. Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. You want things to go well with you? I do. I want my house to be blessed. I want my family to be blessed. I want my finances to be blessed. I want my body to be blessed. I want my church to be blessed. Am I the only one like that? Observe and hear all these words which I command thee, and that it may go well with thee. Yeah, I want that. I'm interested in that, Brother Mick. Verse 29 then says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whether thou, where you're going, whether thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, you overtake them, and dwell in their land, take heed to thyself, be careful, that thou be not snared by following them. Hey, in other words, learn from their mistakes on what not to do. And they got a show out called What Not to Wear. All right? A lot of people like that. What Not to Wear. I don't particularly care for that, but What Not to Wear. They like to watch those people pick on people about what not to wear. Amen. But God's trying to teach us on what not to do. Because if you do it, there is consequences that will be paid. Now, the devil lied to Eve in the garden by telling her, in the day that you eat of this fruit, ye shall not surely die. He put a spin on what God said and contradicted the Lord to say, if you eat it, you ain't going to die today. And so she tried it out. She didn't die that day. But she began her process of death, and it had consequences that caught her eventually, didn't it? And it works that way even today. There's consequences by messing around with things God said, don't mess around with it. It doesn't matter if it's fantasy. It doesn't matter if it's fiction. It doesn't matter if it's play or if it's cartoon or it's funny or it's cute. We've got to be careful at what we embrace. That's simple. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following after them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. In other words, you go around, you're saying, now, how was it they did that? I want to do it like they done it. We've watched as our church today has begun to, the Church of America of today has begun to embrace the very things that God absolutely wouldn't involve himself in. And yet today we're embracing the way that they look, the way that they sing, the way that they sound, we've got music today that's called Christian music that sounds no different than the things of the world, the worst of the worst of the world. And yep, they embrace that. I received, I know some boys that give me some stuff that they do, that they're a part of. And I plugged that in. They said they were Christian. They were doing it for Jesus. I plugged it into my CD player. And I'm telling you what. What come out of there was not godly at all. And it's not because I'm old, fogey, and stuck in the mud. Somewhere along the line, discernment should kick in. And if we're Christian, we should be able to discern a little bit of the sense and have some sensitivity toward things that were not godly, that are not godly. Man, oh man, I begin to listen and I know them. I know them boys' intentions are absolutely, they probably have great intentions. They probably mean well, but what came out of there was not a representative of God. It represented something else. It represented another lifestyle. I can assure you that God is not pleased with. There's this idea that we as Christians should be able to embrace anything that we want once we have Christ. It's okay. Everything else will be all right now. It doesn't work that way. Thou shalt not do so. This is what God said. Thou shalt not do so. You won't follow after them. You won't inquire of what they done and how they did things. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth hath they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Don't be trying to mess with what God says is right and wrong. Learn to observe God's word and abide by it. You say, Brother Jeff, you're reading mostly Old Testament stuff. Very good. Jesus did not come to do away with the Old Testament. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled the law, the sacrifice, and all that. We don't have to sacrifice bulls, goats, lambs, sheep. We don't have to do that now. Christ took that place. But we are living sacrifices. We're to walk daily in a way that is so that we can present ourselves to God in a manner that is acceptable. Acceptable. That means there's a way that you can live as a Christian that is not acceptable. What is that? What is it that you could do as a Christian that would make you not acceptable? We should know that. That's important. If there's something that we would do that would cause us to be unacceptable to God, we as Christians then should know what that is. Amen. I know we're under grace. I know we're under grace, but we're not under grace in a way that we can live just like any other devil and be okay. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2. Here you'll find that God will turn his face against evildoers and those that get involved. Again, thou shalt not say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. This is what we're to say. Thou shalt say this to him. If you offer any of your children to Molech, you're going to be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. There's some things God ain't going to tolerate. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes, listen to this. If the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man that's doing this, when he giveth his seed unto Molech and kill him not, you see it's going on, you hide your eyes, you don't take care of that business, you don't stop that man, then I will set my face against that man and against his family. See, your decision affects more than just you. He said, I'll set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredoms with Molech from among the people. What was the worship of Molech? Molech was a horrible statue, a large metal statue that they would build a fire in his arms, and that fire would burn and he would get red hot, and then they would bring their children and cast them, those little babies, they would cast them into that fire, and those children would scream and be burned alive to Molech, and the parents would stand there. Why would a parent do that? Because they wanted control of their lives, of their certain, they wanted preeminence over their enemies. They wanted domination over their fellow man. It was a pride thing. That's what it was. It was all about having more and getting more and being better. And they were willing to sacrifice their children for that. You say, oh, Brother Jeff, I would never do that. Yes, you do. If you allow your children to get involved in things that are absolutely not right, if you allow them to do certain things, go places, get involved in stuff, that they can have a better status, that others could look at them and say, oh, look at them. Oh, look at us. Look at what we've done. Look at how great our children are. Look at what, oh, and we begin to, it's pride. It's the pride that is the sacrifice to Molech. It is the things that we do to lift ourselves up, to look better than our neighbor. It's not that we shouldn't try to do good. Nothing wrong with doing good. Nothing wrong with taking a certain amount of pride in yourself to wash up, clean up, fix up, do right. But when you want preeminence over others and domination, this is a sacrifice to Molech that still lives today. And God made it clear. The man that gets involved in that, oh, he's in trouble. But then those that see it and do nothing about it, see, there's more to this than just walking around, once you get saved, walking around with your lip zipped. And I'm not talking about being mean and hateful, but we as Christians must be willing to talk to others about what's going on. We must be willing. Brother Mick has ordered, we have these tracts concerning a Halloween. We've got to be willing to hand them out at school. Be willing to hand them out at work. Be willing to hand them out when kids come by wanting candy. Yeah, give them a piece of candy, but give them a tract. And if you don't want to participate in all in that candy business, that's fine. Shut that door. Turn out that light. I have no trouble with that. Amen. I'm not trying to get you to compromise on your stand for that. Because there's some people here this morning absolutely against trick-or-treat and absolutely will not participate in any way, shape, form, or fashion. There's others here that absolutely think that there's nothing wrong with it and that it's fine, that it's okay. All right. That's something for you to work out with fear and trembling. But you got to take it by the Word of God and do that. I know that we try to justify a lot of things, but we must be careful. And God's Word is clear. Yeah. Jerusalem. It was the city of peace. It was supposed to be the city of God. It was where he was going to put his name and put his approval and put his anointing and bring people out there that preach and teach the truth of God's word. That was God's desire and still is for that city. And yet in Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 4, things begin to change because of sin. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocent. They have built also the high places of Baal. They burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not. I didn't tell them to do that, but they're doing it anyway. Nor spake it. I didn't tell them to do that. Neither came it into my mind. God no way ever desired that for his people. Verse 6 says, this is the Lord talking. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall be, that this place shall no more be called Tophet or the Valley of Hinnom, but it will be called the Valley of Slaughter. The Valley of Slaughter. It was no longer a place that should have been a beautiful valley there on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And it should have been a place where God had gotten honor. But instead, they went to that valley right there on the borders of Jerusalem. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem began to involve themselves in Baal worship. Got involved, in other words, in the things of the world that they knew were wrong. But they embraced it anyway because it made them feel better about themselves. It caused them to feel good about what they were doing. Oh, isn't that been the mentality of man forever? And that is, if it feels good, do it. They said that was the slogan of my day in the 70s. If it feels good, do it. Oh, that is the mentality of hell. To do whatsoever is good to you, do that. It's all right. It's pleasing to you. That's all that matters. Amen. It's not all that matters. There's more at stake than just you. Your children are involved. Do you care about your children? Do you care about your neighbor? Do you care about your family? If so, observe what God has to say. Oh, he's told them here, there's trouble when you cross me. But he's also told them, there's life when you don't. See, it's not all gloom and doom. There's a place that we walk with God in obedience that he blesses us. He causes us to be the head and not the tail. He causes our crops to grow better. He causes our children to do better. He puts protection on our homes because we've put him first. Amen. When we put God first, he puts us first on his list. Amen. He does. Oh, but here, when we cross things up with God and do our own will, God pushes them aside. I want to tell you, America, it had good roots in the beginning as a nation of In God We Trust, a nation that wanted to embrace Christianity and allow the freedom of the gospel to be preached. We got sidetracked, folks. We've gotten sidetracked. We're no longer, our president would stand and have the audacity to say, we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, maybe in many ways we're not, but in most ways we are. We have the foundation of of Christianity, that's how our laws was established, was in God's Word and the principles of right and wrong. But today we're watching as darkness overtakes our nation. Our government is going down the tube. Our country is going, our schools, many of our churches. Why? We've embraced things that God said, I will not tolerate that in my house or in my people. And when you continue to embrace things, when you continue, now we're living in a day when it's the norm to dress all in black, to paint your nails black, to paint your face white, to do your lips black, to do everything. Something gothic, something dark, something vampiristic, something satanic. And it's all right to the point that now even gospel songs are termed and having the twist of that. They sound just like those that are worshiping. Sound almost like those that Kiss would do years ago. Others like that. Now it's being embraced. It's a normal thing. It's not normal. It's not normal. We saw it. We sung it. We read it. We're children of the light. We're children of the light. We wonder why sickness, trouble, problems, marital issues are in our churches. We're watching as families fall apart and children run away. What's going on? We as moms, dads, sisters, brothers, we've got to shine the light. We've got to live the life of Christ. Nobody else is going to. It's not your job to live my life. It's not your job to take my place as being a child of God and a child of light. It's my duty as a man of God not to try to figure out a way to compromise with sin, not to try to figure out a way to embrace it and okay it and justify it. God forbid we'd have such an attitude. Oh, but we want to please ourselves so much, we're willing to sacrifice everything that is right, everything that is holy, everything that is pure, everything that God's Word has said, we want to shove it aside. We want to do our thing regardless and justify it by grace. God, help us as a nation not to be that way. Somebody's got to make a difference. Somebody's got to make a difference as it starts in that altar. It starts with me in my altar. It starts with you in that altar. It starts with us seeking the face of God again. Becoming burdened with God's desires for His will, for His wants in our lives individually, in our churches, in our families. And revival comes from that. That's when life begins to flow. The river begins to run again. And life is there. And our young people are hungry for real, true, godly religion. And I don't use that word religion loosely. I'm talking about Christianity. Our young people are truly hungry for it. And yet, so many substitutes is being offered and the church finds itself dragging along. Dragging along. Still today in 2011 attempting to justify things of the world. Oh, that are so blatantly wrong and evil. God help us. We got to be careful what we mix with. We got to be careful what we indulge ourselves in or be a part of and even what we wink at. As in, oh, that's no big deal. Man, God said right there, if you know it's happening and you don't say nothing, you don't do nothing, I'm going to cut you off too. That's what He said. There's a danger. Oh, and ignoring God's warning as well. Jeremiah 32 verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire. And Molech, they done it anyway, folks. They built it anyway. They went on anyway, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind. That's what God said. But they did it anyway. Why? They were driven to do what they wanted to do. Revelation chapter 2 verse 18 speaks of this woman Jezebel as Jesus talks to a wonderful church that had gotten sidetracked. And unto the angel, this is Revelation chapter 2 verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes set unto a flame of fire, and his feet is like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the latter to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Oh, wouldn't it be terrible for Jesus to walk in and say, I've got some things against you. You're not ready to meet me. That's what He was telling them. I've got some things against you. All right. notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Who was she? She was the one that caused Israel to sin so horribly after the worshiping of Baal. Baal was more than having a statue, folks. Baal was more than just offering a little incense. It was a way of life. It involved everything that they did through their finances, through their sexual activity, as well as how they handled their children and how they worshiped God. It was a total perversion of a lifestyle. And yet it started simple. It started small. It started gradual. It always works that way. You suffer her, and she calls herself a prophetess. She's in the church. Oh, look at that. This represents the day that we're living as well. Amen. She's in the church. She calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and she just seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Be careful, folks. It doesn't just affect you. It does just affect you, mom and dad, when you let down and you allow things into the home that ought not be there. For this scripture goes on as Jesus says, I will kill your children with death. Why? Because of what you've done. You've allowed her there. You've participated. You've gotten involved. You've allowed it to go on. And all the churches, I'm going to tell you, we've got to be careful what we involve ourselves in. We've got to. It's important. Jesus loves you today. Everything he did for you. He died on Calvary, shed his blood. It was holy blood. It wasn't vampire blood. It wasn't the blood of a goat or a bull. It wasn't the blood of a cat or a dog. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, perfect blood. He offered that blood. It's holy. God said, the blood is holy. Life is in the blood. It's holy. It's holy. Life is in it. Don't mess with it. Don't drink it. He made it clear. Don't drink it. Don't eat it. You cook that flesh. Don't you eat that raw stuff, blood dripping out of there. That's a sin. That's wrong. Don't do it. That's what God said. Don't do it. Amen. Oh, he's made things clear for us. Christ died and offered his precious blood for us on Calvary as it poured himself out there. Amen. And today, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all your sins. Today, Jesus Christ can set you free. I know without question in my mind, there is no sin too strong, no chain too heavy, no bindings too stout that Jesus Christ cannot set you free from whatever has you bound. But you got to want to be free. You got to want to be free from that life that has held you down. As a lot of people don't want to have the bondage of sin, but they don't want to have any of the restrictions of Christianity. I want to tell you, Christianity is true freedom. True Christianity now is true freedom. It's not a life of bondage, my friend. It is a life of true freedom. I'm free to live for Christ, not die for the devil. I'm free to walk for him, not be bound by shackles and going to hell. I am free to be the man of God God's called me to be. That's true freedom. And because of that freedom, there's some things I just won't do. There's places I won't go. There's things I will not participate in. There's things I will not set before my eyes. Amen. Why? Because I'm a free man of God. I'm free to live for him. Let's stand this morning. I know this is a quiet message. That's fine. I knew that before I got started. Amen. We got to hear this. Sometimes we need to hear it. You know, repetition is what catch a hold of us. We need to hear some things. The worst thing you can do this morning is not take this message serious because you say, ah, Jeff, that's just you. You just hung up on that stuff. If you think that way, my goodness. I don't know how. I don't know what I can, I don't know. What else can I do? I read from the Word of God. I read from the Word of God. Amen. Oh, there's tons of New Testament scripture. I knew I ran out of time on gathering all the scripture. There ain't no way I could get it all out to you. Amen. There is so much in this Word of God that makes it clear. We are children of the light, not of the night. And we're to represent and replicate that light. We're to be like that moon. That moon's not a light of its own. It's a reflection of the sun. Amen. That's what we're to be. Cannot be that disguised as something else. If the moon puts on some other garment, some other thing, that won't work. We need the Lord today. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I want to tell you, you're living in a world of darkness. You're living in a world of darkness. There is a devil that hates you. You may not realize what's going on around you, but there is a devil that hates you. There is a spirit world that is more real than this world is. It is eternal. It will last longer than your physical body will, or your car, your truck, your home. There is an eternal world out there. There is an eternal world. There's an influence today. There's one inside of you right now trying to get you to stay put. Don't move. Don't pray. Don't believe. There's one arguing with you constantly over that. But Christ is here this morning. Somewhere inside of you, you've got to be feeling a little bit of a knocking on your heart as He begins to talk to you and say, I'm talking to you. I love you. I died for you. I'll save you. I'll save you. I'll free you from the chains of sin and bondage and fear and worry. I'll free you from all the struggles, these things that the devil is holding you with. You got to hear that. You got to feel that right now. He's here. I know He is. I know He is. He's reaching for you because He loves you. Maybe you've never felt real love before. Maybe you've been in abusive relationships. Maybe you were raised by people that didn't care about you. Jesus is not like that. He loves you. He cares about you. He thinks about you every day, all day long. And even while you sleep, He watches you. Nobody else can do that. And He does it because He cares. He does it because He cares. He's reaching for you right now. You know, if you just reach back, you can talk to Him. You can whisper a prayer to Him. But if you just call on Him, saying, Jesus, I need You. I want You. I don't understand all this, Lord, but I know I need help. Or if you'd reach out to Him, surrender your life, you know what? He'd save your soul. He'd save your soul. And I'm going to tell you, when He saves you, you will know that you've been born again. Nobody have to tell you that. You'll know that something has happened to me today. He will save you. He will wash you. He will change you. You'll know that you've been born again. And then you can be ready to meet Him when He comes. There's nothing. There is no feeling. There is no drug. There is no high. There is no excitement. There is no rush on planet Earth that can take the place of a man or a woman knowing that their sins have been washed away and that they're now ready to meet Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you, that is an awesome experience that Jesus wants you to have today. He loves you. Lord, right now I pray that, Lord, You'd touch every person in here, that You'd minister to everyone. You know the condition.